Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hello, everyone, to the end of September in the year 2011. This is Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and this is Attention Talk Radio. Got a very exciting show tonight. We're going to pay attention to attention with Dr. Brett Briere. But before we get into some things, as always, I need just to make a few announcements. For those out there, the CHAD conference is right around the corner, a little over a month away in Orlando, Florida. If you haven't checked into that, go to chadd.org. I've already booked my hotel room. I'm going to be driving down the road, so all that's taken care of, and I will be there. So if you're a listener to the show, be on the lookout for me. Love to meet you, anxious to see you, and I'm excited for a great conference over there. Also, the virtual ADD conference is around the corner. That's October the 3rd. For more information on that, go to ADHDconference.com or dig back in our archives and you can listen to our show where I had Jennifer on. We actually talked about the conference in a little bit more detail and some of the advantages of that. I also want to kind of announce kind of formally that we've actually put together a package of shows. I'm happy. ADHD Awareness Week is October the 18th, and Attention Talk Radio has put together five shows that's being brought to you by the ADD Coach Academy and Attention Talk Radio. We're very excited about it. On Monday, we're going to have Ned Hollowell coming on talking about what's exciting to him in the ADHD world, so that promises to be great. David Gwork's going to come on Tuesday and talk about his book, Permission to Proceed. Wednesday, Michelle Novotny is going to come on. She actually wrote the Senate resolution that brought about ADHD Awareness Week. That interview was pre-recorded, and if you like ADHD, it's a great story. If you're not really attuned to ADD, it's still a good story because writing a Senate resolution is not quite the way you think it is, and we'll be talking a lot about that. Thursday, we're going to have Ari Tuckman and Barbara Luther on talking about the difference between ADHD coaching and ADHD therapy. That's going to be a real fascinating conversation. And then a Friday show, we have a bonus. It's actually a surprise. I can't announce it as of yet, but we will certainly make you aware of that in future shows, but I can assure you that it will be something that you want to listen to. A reminder to our iTunes listeners and everybody else out there, if you go to attentionradio.com, you can sign up for our newsletter and have our show schedule sent right to your inbox without having to go to Attention Talk Radio to see what's going on. But most of you didn't dial in for that. You wanted to hear about paying attention to attention. And again, with us in our virtual studio is Beth Briere. Beth, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. It's great to be here.
I got to tell you, this show is about paying attention to attention, and when we first kind of got hooked up and I started hearing about some of the things you're talking about, I said, this is absolutely perfect, and it's nestled in here real good. A couple weeks ago, we had David Kirch come on talking about attention or controlling attention and attention exercises, and then next month, Ari Tuckman and I are going to come in. We're actually going to talk about what really is attention and how to manage it, but this show is kind of cool because I think we're going to break down attention a little bit and understand it, at least from a learning perspective and what you do, so this is in the sweet spot. I really like this stuff. You know, as an attention coach, you gotta know I would love it. So before we kind of get into our conversation, just want to talk a little bit about your background. Now, you founded Success in Mind, right?
That's correct. Success in Mind is a nonprofit organization here in Durham, North Carolina. And we actually started as a clinic that was a part of All Kinds of Mind, a nonprofit organization that was started by Dr. Mel Levine and Chuck Schwab, dedicated to really understanding and supporting children with learning challenges.
And, you're supporting children with learning challenges, but I want to reiterate to those listening to the show that the same concepts really apply to adults. Most people have never really thought about how they learn, and I know when I coach, the first thing we do is we talk about how you individually learn because that's the key to everything in terms of communication and actually how you process information. I find there's a big correlation between how you organize information in your mind and how you organize your external world.
It's absolutely true, and it's interesting. We focus here in our clinic on helping kids from kindergarten, mostly through college. But I'll tell you, we've had some parents who are pretty insistent and persistent and see the value of this approach and really are pushing us to offer it to them as well.
I swear to God, I did not ask her to say that. Right, Beth? That was totally volunteer.
I'll tell you also, more often than not, it's the spouse offering it up for their mates.
Now, before you start this, just a little bit of background, you actually had, you were a medical director at Cigna Medical Group in Phoenix, Arizona. Can you tell us about that experience real quickly?
Yeah, I've actually had a pretty varied background, and I think it's one of those things where I became a physician because somebody dared me, and then I became a medical director because somebody offered it to me. I wasn't interested, but they told me what the other options were, and I said, well, I think I'll do that.
Uh-huh.
And then it got to the point where I really said, you know, I'm old enough now that it's time to focus in on what I really want to be my legacy, what I want to be the area that I want to have the greatest impact. And for all of my life, I knew I wanted to work with kids. In some form or another, I was going to work with kids. And I guess being a medical director for a large staff model organization where we had 2,000 employees, in some ways it is like taking care of a large family. But I really wanted to get back to kids. And I did my fellowship with Dr. Levine working in this area. And so I feel as though I've sort of come back to my roots.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, let's jump into we're talking about success in mind a little bit in the philosophy of life. Tell us about that and the learning. Just give us a broad brush overview, and then we can kind of get into some details.
Yeah, okay. Well, so in our model, in our way of looking at learning, we understand that all of the academic skills have at their root, have at their core, a certain constellation and combination of brain functions, fundamental brain functions. We call them brain constructs. There are 8 of them, and they come together in various arrangements to form the basis for all of the skills that we see. And indeed, I think for a lot of our behaviors and for a lot of our emotions as well, although our focus does tend to be learning. So, for example, when we see a child who's having trouble learning to decode words, who's having trouble mm-hmm. learning to read, our question is, why? Why is this child having trouble? Is it because they have a problem with different forms of memory? Is it because they have a challenge with language? Is attention, are their attention controls affecting them? Is there
mm-hmm.
something around their ability to sequence information that's making this hard for them? And so it's really understanding the why and being very specific about that why that then forms the basis of a plan of action that enables us to put together a roadmap for this child, for the parents, for the child, and for the school to help that child exercise that pathway that's not functioning well for them and build
mm-hmm.
it. That's basically the model.
It's fascinating because as a coach, when people come in, they'll say, listen, I'm having some difficulty with something. I'll say, well, what's hard about it? And the whole purpose I ask that question is for them to actually think exactly what is hard about it so we can isolate that particular area because it's just not hard in general. And if we can narrow our focus down and find out really what it is, then we're in a position where we can kind of work around it. And I'm hearing you break this down into 8 constructs and you start categorizing this stuff so you can deal with specificity exactly what the issue is. Is that
exactly right? And, you know, Jeff, one of the things that's really important for us is that we don't label. We don't label kids.
Uh-huh.
So we don't use terms like dyslexia. We don't use terms like ADHD. We
uh-huh.
find that those labels are too nonspecific, and actually they're very pessimistic and pathologic. And yet you look at all of the literature, and you know there are benefits to some of these attention
yep.
control challenges that we have, and there are benefits that must be realized because this child had challenges learning to decode. I mean, when you look at the great writers who at one point were labeled as having dyslexia, I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yes.
And so we have to really understand what it is that's going on with them and not be so quick to jump and say it's all bad.
Yeah, it's funny. I want to throw this out there. I think it was 2 years ago. I had Dan Pruitt on, and he had gone through the mathematical calculations, just kind of echoing what you said. Like ADHD, there's three different kinds, and you have to 6 symptoms of 9 and 2 categories and 12 of 18. And anyway, he did the permutations on ADHD, and just based on the different combinations, there was 18,000 different versions of ADD, and that didn't take into consideration intensity and things like coexisting conditions as they define it. And the point that we were having fun with the show is that you really – once you see one person with this, they're all completely different. I mean, you can't walk in and generalize with this. You have to look at it and say, how's this person learning different from anybody else? Because in the moment that you look for how they're different, you can actually understand it. But if you're looking at how they're the same, you'll miss what's going on.
Absolutely. And that's so key to all of this. One of the things that we find is that when people are labeled with ADD or ADHD, and I will tell you that most of the kids we see come in having had numerous other assessments, and then the recommendation is medication. And maybe there are two or three different strategies, you know, preferential seating in the classroom, extended time, repetition of instruction. I mean, they're just these sort of generic, I would say not very meaningful recommendations.
Yep.
When you really understand what's going on for that child, you start to make a list of recommendations that actually exercise a pathway to build it.
Excellent.
They're different for different kids. And so the learning plan for one child who's been labeled as ADHD, hyperactive type, or combined type, looks very different than the plan for another one with exactly the same label. And we strongly believe that there are folks who need medication, but medication is never the whole answer.
Absolutely. Let's have a best. I want to run to a commercial break, but before we do, for our callers that are listening now or even those that will listen in the archives, Beth, you're available Tuesdays at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. For an hour where anybody can kind of call in, they'll patch you through to you, just make yourself available to people with questions. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right.
And the number, if you've got a question, if you dial 919-680-8929, again, that's Tuesdays.
8921.
I'm sorry, 8921, that's correct. If you call in on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, if you've got any questions, it's a great time to get a hold of Beth. So everybody, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org. Or call us at 800-233-4050.
I thought I could handle college, but I just got my grades. My first year was a disaster. I barely passed. My folks think I slacked off, but I really tried hard. I just could not keep organized with all my assignments. By the end, I just gave up. Maybe I'm just not cut out for college.
Did you know that students have the highest risk of failure during their first semester of college? That's especially true for students who learn differently. Many bright and motivated students with learning disabilities and ADHD have chosen Landmark College in Vermont in order to develop the learning strategies and confidence they'll need to succeed academically. Princeton Review says, simply put, Landmark College knows how to serve students who learn differently better than any other place on earth. We're now accepting students for our fall semester. Learn more at landmark.edu. That's landmark.edu.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
You deserve the best trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Has your child been diagnosed with ADHD? Is he not fulfilling his potential? Success in Mind can help. We provide assessments that identify a student's learning profile of strengths and challenges. The result? A practical plan of strategies and tools that go beyond medication that parents, teachers, and students can implement together. If your child needs more success, visit Success in Mind at www.success-in-mind.com. timetimer-mind.org.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Beth Briere, and we're paying attention to attention specifically in the field of learning. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about Beth's background and talking about attention, but more specifically how everybody's kind of completely different, and her philosophy in looking at individuals is everybody's kind of different. There's no labels and stuff because you're really trying to focus and isolate how that individual learns in their own unique way so that a plan can be put together specifically tailored to that individual. Did I get that right, Beth?
You did. Very well done, Jeff.
Just want to make sure that I'm reframing this all correctly. Earlier, before you started talking about eight constructs of attention and stuff that you guys work with, can you talk about that stuff a little bit so that our listeners can get a little idea how you break this down into the next level?
Yeah, so there are eight constructs of which attention is one. And within attention, the attention construct, we think of three control systems. There's the mental energy control system. That's how much fuel you have in your brain to work. It's the part of attention that regulates sleep and arousal. It's the part that that creates the flow of fuel and how regular that flow of fuel moves through you. There's also the processing controls. That's the second of the control systems. And the processing controls are responsible for selecting and preparing and refining information as it's coming in, as it's coming into the brain, in order to help you learn about it and remember it. And there are, within the processing controls of attention, there are five different functions that we look at. And I think this is probably the area of attention that's the most misunderstood. These are the kids, actually kids who have mental energy control weaknesses, kids and adults actually, who have mental energy control weaknesses and the processing control weaknesses are often called the inattentive type of ADD or ADHD. And yet when we look at them, there are nine different subfunctions. I mean, going back to what you said about the 18,000 different ways of, that's what we see. And so within the processing controls, the very first one we talk about is the filtering function called saliency determination. It's your ability to filter the myriad of stimuli that are bombarding you constantly and focus only on that which is most important. Now, you can imagine that people who have challenges with this are highly distractible, but they can also notice things that other people don't notice, which can be problematic in an academic setting or in certain situations that where you need to stay really focused on only that which is most salient, but they can also be very creative and notice things that other people just don't see. And so our goal in all of these areas is to say, what we want for you is to have the ability to regulate them. It's not to fix them. It's not to turn them off or turn them on. It's to give you the ability to regulate them. It's to let them be what some people might label weak when they're appropriate to be that way, and to rein them back in again when you need them to be that rigid and highly functional. And another one of the processing controls is called cognitive activation. And we all know that in order to really learn, you have to connect new information to that which you already know. And that's that active learning style is key to being able to really understand and remember new information. Well, there are kids who make too many connections. This is the kid who goes off on tangents. We saw one of them today. And boy, did we have a blast with this kid. He was so much fun to be with. Unbelievably creative. But I'm telling you, you try to get him to sit down and focus on a math problem, it's really tough. Now, fortunately, this kid happens to be enormously skilled in math. So the fact that he doesn't focus on that math problem is not really an issue until he gets home for homework. And then it's a huge issue. But that cognitive activation, again, we want these kids to be able to continue to make those tangential kinds of thoughts. But we want them to schedule when they're going to act that way, when they're going to let their minds go, and not let that happen in the middle of a lesson where they really need to be focused on the order in which things are being presented.
It's interesting to me because as you start to break this down, you start to look at these things, and you start to say, hey, listen, this is somebody who can kind of get tangential type stuff, or they can see things that they can't. Once you identify that that's who they are, it's interesting because it starts to open up your mind about really creatively, like where they might need to go and excel in life.
Absolutely.
Like where those characteristics are actually a huge gift where they weren't before. And if you didn't break this all down with specificity, you would really never know what that trait necessarily is, and you wouldn't really know what to look for.
Right, and even worse, maybe we start to suppress it so that they don't take advantage of what I think is a tremendous asset in the right setting. So we have this enormously creative thinker who, because he or she has been so defeated through the educational system, sort of turns that part of their brain off. It's just, we don't want that to happen. They lose that ability. You know, in adolescence, when you go through that process of pruning synapses or the connections in your brain, you can lose skills if you don't use them, and we don't want that to happen. We just want them to have control over when they use them and when they don't.
Absolutely. Beth, help me out here, because I've been thinking in my mind about people who comment to me about coaching and listen to this and the model that you have and the stuff that we've been talking about, and somebody who might have, you know, heard something somewhere else, and they're coming here to relate it. And, you know, one of the things about the world is it's very exceptionally complicated. You can't pay attention to everything all at one time. And we set models up, and we refine them over a period of time so that we can actually start to, you know, kind of slowly figure some stuff out. And I live in Florida, and they have these, you know, hurricane models. And none of them are exactly right, but we're starting to hone in on it a little bit better, and we're getting better at predicting that kind of stuff, and we're breaking the things down and learning it. And this model that you have, while this language might differ for some other things that a listener might be listening to, the fundamental thing is you guys have a mental model here that breaks this stuff down, and the bottom line is it does give you some specificity and it does give you some direction in order to break this stuff down. So while you might have heard something somewhere else, you just listen and translate it a little bit to what Beth's doing. This is very powerful, and just because you heard something somewhere else doesn't mean it's there. This is a model to break the stuff down, to understand and isolate how a particular individual can work, so you can come up with an individual plan.
Absolutely, but I think there's another piece to it.
Uh-huh.
It's a model of how it works, and it's a recognition of that sometimes it works for you, and sometimes it doesn't. It's not all or one. Or it's not
uh-huh.
all or nothing. And I think when you're in a medical model and you're thinking about medication, it really becomes that almost that all or nothing. It's on off.
Yep.
And I really want people to think differently about it.
Yep.
I will also say one other thing. I'm not that wedded to what terminology you use, but I am wedded to a terminology of some sort that lets people understand how they learn and let people communicate with others that they're working with about how they learn. And so I do think some kind of model and specific way of thinking about this is really important.
Yeah, well, a language, in order for you to communicate on a consistent basis, totally makes some sense. So it doesn't
Correct.
Matter the specific words, as long as you have some words that bring it together. It makes all the sense in the world to me.
Correct.
Beth, we need to run again to our second break. Again, I want to remind the callers, if you'd like to talk to Beth, or you've got any particular questions about this topic, or you want to learn more about Success in Mind, Tuesdays is a great time to give her a buzz. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Time at 919-680-8921. And with that, we'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
The Virtual ADHD Conference is an online event that empowers you with the information, tools, and resources that you and your family need to succeed with ADHD. Join us at ADHDconference.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Attention Talk Radio, everyone. We have Dr. Beth Briere, and we're paying attention to attention, specifically in the realm of learning. I encourage you again... October 12th, Dr. Ari Tuckman and I are going to get on. We're actually going to talk about what is attention. We all use the word attention every day, but have you ever really sat down and thought about what attention is? It's really a fluid process, and we might introduce some exercises and some fun stuff, but it's interesting because most people, when you ask them what attention is, they're stuck, and I think if you listen to our show, you'll hear some pretty strong opinions on it. But we're really focused here on learning this stuff. And Beth, before the break, we were breaking this stuff down. You talked about mental energy. You talked about processing as some of the main attention controls. But there's also production, right?
Correct. And the production controls are the ones that regulate output. It's what helps you organize and sort of pace and then monitor and learn from past experience. Again, there are five subfunctions that we look at under the production controls. So the processing controls handle incoming information, and the production controls handle output. It's not uncommon for people to have a few challenges in the processing controls and a few challenges in the production control areas, and they can interact with each other, sometimes for benefit and sometimes not so beneficially.
Sure. So this might be kind of difficult with the time we left, but can you think of an example of somebody who kind of came in where you kind of broke this down, where you were able to, because we only got a couple minutes left here, about how you break this stuff down and how you, like an example of a unique learning program that you have that's based on some of this stuff?
Yeah, we saw a kid today. Who the parents came in because he's in seventh grade, is getting straight A's. His teachers love him, but he is now spending at least 4 hours a night on homework. And his sister, who's a year ahead of him, spent 1 hour on homework when she was in the seventh grade and has spent 2 hours on homework in the eighth grade. And he came home in a panic saying, there's no way he can do 8 hours of homework and have any other kind of life. And he asked them to get him some help. And so, and they came in here already with the label of ADHD. He's on medication. He also has a label of dysgraphia and a written expression, learning disability, and challenges with processing speed. While we're assessing him today, what became really, really clear is that this kid is not a slow processor at all, and that is exactly how his parents perceive, that's how he perceives of himself. In fact, this child has so much going on in his brain. He is making so many connections. He's brilliant, first of all, and he, uh-huh. his ability to think critically, he does it about everything. I mean, you know, sometimes...
Yep.
one plus one is really just two. You can analyze it in a lot of other ways, and it might be really fun and interesting, but sometimes you just got to say, okay, one plus one is two, and let's move on. He can't do that. And so his homework takes him 4 hours, not because he's a slow processor. It's because he is processing way too much information. He is making way too many connections. And so they're working with him to speed up, and he is just getting more and more flooded. Well, they actually, when parents come in to see the assessment, when parents bring the students in for an assessment, they actually watch the assessment. And so, and as we're working with this, with the child, we're talking to them and sort of helping the child and the parents understand what the thought processes are that the child is going through. And we were very able to demonstrate both to him and to his parents that it wasn't that he was slow. He was never slow. In fact, he's fast. It's just that he's processing too much. And how do we get him to recognize when he uses his wonderful critical thinking and logic and creative thought processes and when he just stops and says, no, this is not the time for those things?
I got to tell you, while you're telling – for anybody out there who's on Facebook knows that I'm a big fan of Einstein, and I love to study him and his quotes, but all I could think of is when you're doing this or you're explaining this is that story where he's like riding the bus in Switzerland looking at the clock tower, and he imagines traveling with this a beam of light, and he's processing so much at so many different times, and he's beginning to analyze things so much that he begins to see something that revolutionizes the way we see things.
Absolutely.
And that particular situation, you go, hey, wait a second, this kid's absolutely brilliant. The problem is he's overprocessing 1 plus 1 equals 2, but he could determine that, time slows as you reach the speed of light because he's got so much going on. He sees things that we don't necessarily see, and you certainly wouldn't want to squelch that brilliance.
Not at all. And you know what the truth is? It's being squelched for him because this guy in particular has such a strong desire to be successful. So his teacher will give him 30 math problems. Now, let me tell you, I think this kid could be teaching math in probably at a high school level at this point in time. And he didn't get into the advanced math class in seventh grade. Attention control weaknesses. So here he's being held back, and he has to spend an hour doing 30 math problems that he's having a hard time focusing on because, you know what? He knows it all. He doesn't need to be doing this at all. And so our job now is to work with these teachers and say, first of all, he needs more advanced math. And second of all, once he knows it, there's no value to this math homework anymore. Let's stop.
He's three or four. He's in calculus right now, and you're holding him back learning his time tables.
That's right.
Well, Beth, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys coming on the show. We probably should have scheduled this for an hour, maybe do a sequel, but this has been really enlightening. Again, the reason I was so thrilled to have you guys on the show was just to take something as simple as learning the tension and kind of break it down. And as you look at the specificity, you can actually start to isolate some things and then customize it for each unique individual, because we are, at the end of the day, all different. While everybody says that we're different, practically, not a lot of people practice it. And what I'm hearing at Success in Mind is that you guys implement. There's no label. There's no nothing. Everybody's different. You're just trying to find out how each person individually works, make a plan for them so you can accentuate the positives and help them learn to manage around their struggles.
Wonderful. That's a great summary.
So, again, thank you very much for coming on the show. We very much appreciate it. Everybody, for our listeners out there, remember, we got our specials coming up for ADHD Awareness Week. That's October the 18th. Go to attentiontalkradio.com, and you can see some summaries of what we got in store with you. So with that, I'll let everybody go. Catch you next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everyone.